I'm just going to start recording right from the beginning here. I do want to go over a little bit of a review on the tabernacle, because we did complete all the portions of the tabernacle. Just want a little review. One of my neighbors, Bob Spencer, was ever so kind to put together this little replica here, a little cardboard replica of the tabernacle, what it would look like. And I just wanted to show that to us, to remind us what it's all about. And the, remember, we said there's only one entrance. All this is set up with white linen all the way around as the edge of the tabernacle. The tabernacle really is only this place. All the rest of it is the courtyard. But the tabernacle itself...
Carolyn, get up on the side.
Thank you.
So you don't have to hold it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that, holding that up. Those that are listening can't see this, but they can hear all the portions of it. But we can see that there's only one curtain area, one entrance into the place that has the tabernacle, the place where God dwells. And that entrance is Jesus. That was the picture that was given to us. The first thing anyone entering into the courtyard would see would be the altar of sacrifice. The next thing, the laver where the priests had to wash before they could even go into the holy place. And then you can see up in the holy place is the candlesticks, the oil lamps, rather, that were in there, and to talk about Jesus being the light of the world. And that's the table of shewbread, or the table of bread that had 12 loaves representing the tribes of Israel. There's also 12 gates in heaven. I mean, there's all sorts of things that have great, great meaning to the Lord. But that was to let us know that Jesus is our bread. It's our bread of life. And then the altar of incense. He certainly gave up his life, but that is to symbolize the praises that go up to the Lord. And then there's a veil. You can see the veil back up in there. And then up in here, if we can look at that, maybe we turn that around. There we go. That is, the first part was the holy place. The second part is the most holy place. And remember, we said the only thing that is in there is the Ark of the Covenant, with a cherubim covering over the mercy seat. And inside the Ark of the Covenant, the Ten Commandments, and a little golden pot of manna from the wilderness journey, and the rod of Aaron that budded. And we talked about how that mercy seat is the replica of where all of our sins go, on the mercy seat, so that they're not held accountable to us. And how the Ten Commandments, that needs to be truly in our heart, the absolute structure and dictates of God. And then the pot of manna, again talking about the bread that we receive from heaven. And then the rod of Aaron that budded, that's what we're supposed to be. It shows that life in God only, that life can come out from that which is dead. So when you have all of these things here together, then the coverings were on top of them. And that to me was one of the most amazing parts of the teaching, because this is the outer court here where all the people can go. And that's what we have today. This is people come, the one entrance is Jesus and his sacrifice, and then the washing by the water of the word. But this tabernacle, you see, we are supposed to be the tabernacle today. We're supposed to have the light of God in us. He said for us to be poured out drink and broken bread too. We're supposed to have lives of sacrifice and giving and doing, all led by his Spirit, not just good works that will burn. But see, we're supposed to be the walking tabernacle, because deep seated within us, in our inner being, is supposed to be the Holy of Holies, which means the very presence of the Spirit of God that we let rule us. So we were supposed to be walking tabernacles. When you start thinking on that, my body is a tabernacle. My body is the temple of the Spirit of God. It certainly will give us a different perspective about what we do with our bodies, how we dress it and clothe it, how we treat it, what we do. I mean, it's important physically to take care of ourselves as it is spiritually. But are you a walking tabernacle? Do you have the light of Christ in you? Are you broken bread for others? Do you have that incense meaning that constant praise and that fragrance of your life going up before God with that internal dwelling of the Spirit of God. Boy, I tell you, it's so powerful. Now, the first covering over top of the tabernacle, because remember the tabernacle housed both the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The first one was a white covering. So when the priest looked up, all he saw was pure white. It was a white linen, which is exactly a symbol of what we do when we look up to the Lord. That is all purity. That is perfection that we're looking to. The next covering was a red ram, or a black goat skin. Right on top of that white linen. And it is absolutely powerful, because when the priest looked up, he didn't see the sins. And this is the black goat skin that symbolized our sins. And the next layer, and this was the real blowout, the next layer was a red ram skin, and that laid right on top of the black goat skin. Talk about a picture of Jesus covering our sins. And then on top of that was like a leather or a porpoise skin or something of that manner that they had to seal it. So this is so powerful. When the priest looked up, all he saw was pure white. When God looked down, he never saw the black of sin. He just saw what was sealed, and was sealed by the Spirit of promise. What was sealed, and then I never saw. And all that was there was the red ram skin underneath the seal. God never sees, and this is what's so perfect, he doesn't see the sin when you are under the blood of Jesus and sealed by the Spirit of promise. Now, this was done thousands of years ago. The people back then had no idea what this meant. They just were given instructions by God, and they followed them out. You see, their obedience to the instructions held God's wrath from them. Their obedience showed they loved God. I mean, all of those things are wrapped up in that, but that was the Old Testament. That was everything physical. But it was, as we look with God's eyes today, this was a picture of who we are supposed to be after Jesus Christ came and died and shed his blood for us as that final sacrifice. I just find that absolutely amazing. Thank you very much for the hands-on help there. So with that review, we've talked a lot about the tabernacle, and we've gone over all of that. And there were many that were ministering in the tabernacle, and that was the priests. So we're going to cover that tonight, the high priest. Now, the high priest, there were certain things that had to be required of them, even their garments. And the garments we'll do next Wednesday, and we'll finish up the series on the garments and the gems and things. Now, you all have your handouts that you've had from the beginning of this series. And for those that are listening on the audio, you can go online and get the audio, but also you can get the handout. And it has some of the pictures that we're going to be talking about too. This is a picture. I want to do a little review for those who may not remember roughly what the high priest and his garments looked like. And absolutely amazing. It wasn't just, this is what really gets to me when we talk about the truth of the Lord. We're not looking for religion. We're looking for truth. And when God talked about the priesthood, the things he told us are true. And that's what we want to know. Not just one more religion with one set of priests that had all their garb on there. You look at all sorts of religions and monks and Buddhists and also everyone has their own little traditions and their own little ceremonies and their bells and their tinklings and winklings and all sorts of things that are going on out there. This has nothing to do with God. This was not set up by man. Which makes the difference. Every single thing, when you search it truly with an open heart, every single thing God told his people to do was part of a plan that was marching forward and talking about the time of the restoration of mankind with God, because Adam sinned and separated us from God, and Jesus died to reconnect us with God. Every single thing talks about is not a religious ideation or some trinket or some celebratory traditional ceremony. He even back then said, you know, I am so sick of your new moons and your festivals. Those were things that God told them to do to honor him. And what they did was they got away from honoring God, and they were all caught up in the festival. They were caught up in the ceremony. We see that in our churches today. They're caught up in the ceremonial aspect. And they feel so holy. Well, I remember God sharing with us so many times, I do not want my people feeling holy. I don't want you to feel holy, God says. I want you to be holy. And the only way you can be holy is to have the sin nature not ruling, to have it die, crucify the flesh, and let the God nature rule. Now, God had called his priesthood, and this is a picture of the priest with the different garb on, and it wasn't just something they came up with to look kind of cute. Every single bit of the clothing, the garments of the priest and the high priest had spiritual meaning. Even if the people back then didn't realize the spiritual meaning, those of us led by God's Spirit today can. Because you see, back then they didn't have the Spirit of God indwelling them. God's Spirit only descended upon people upon his occasion, upon his choosing. But because of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection and return to Father, he said, I am going to leave you my Spirit. The Comforter, the Paraclete, the one who walks beside you. Wow! That's what we have, should you choose. And it's up to you. You can decide for or against Jesus. You can say, yes, he lives. I don't understand it all, but I there's a God out there, and there's something about Jesus, and I'm asking him to come into my heart and save me and forgive me and get me on his journey. Something's going on here. Not religion. Relationship with the living God. Now, God wanted his nation of Israel to be a nation of priests. That's well recorded. And he did this in order to share his glory and his blessings with the unbelieving nations that surrounded them. For Israel to become a holy people, to magnify a holy God, then God had to establish a holy priesthood. And God tasked Aaron's family, one of the tribes of Israel, he tasked Aaron's family for the high priest job, and the Levites, the Aaron's family was in the Levites, and the Levites to serve in the tabernacle. And the Levites were made up of the families of Kohath, Gershom, and Merari, for those who are interested in those kind of details. But that broadens your perspective and whatever, but it's not necessarily something you need to memorize or understand right now. But just understand, God established certain tribes, and he established certain families, and he pulled from certain ones according to his reasoning. You know, there's an awful lot of mystery that we're not going to understand, but you know, knowing that God is superior, you know, I'm just going to leave all that to him. Why did you choose this tribe over that tribe? Ask him when you get there. That's all you need to ask him when you get there if you want to know that kind of stuff. Now today, we must learn from this because God still wants his priests, us, to minister to the world as that holy and royal priesthood. So we are not only the priest, we are the tabernacle. And we need to keep that in mind. What are we doing and how can I serve you, Lord? We must be faithful to God and follow his lead exactly, just as the priest did, that we may not fall into idolatry. And that word idolatry comes from that word meaning ideas. God gave them directions because he knew fallen man would come up with ideas of their own of what they thought God was. That's well evident back there. They thought the God was thunder. They thought the God was lightning. They thought the God was fire and volcanoes. They thought the God was the sun. They thought the God was the moon. They thought the God was the ocean. Neptune, the God of the oceans. I mean, they thought God knew that without direction from him, that their broken thinking process would come up with something. And he says they worshiped what was made by God and the creature more than the creator, the one that had made them. He knew that would happen. That's why he had to give direction. Now, this was a developing thing, and we'll see that in terms of the priesthood. But God did not want people to fall away into idolatry of their own ideas of what they thought God wants. But he wanted them to understand who he was, so he had to give some guidelines and directions for them to follow. And again, it was choice back then. People either did that, or they just went the pagan way and say, no, that's not God. This is the one I invented. Still have a choice back then. Still have a choice today. No one ends up in heaven by accident. No one ends up in hell by accident. This is a merciful great God who is calling out to you from the day of your birth to come to him, to be restored in him. He will take us any which way we are, but you have to do it voluntarily. But there are those who will choose against him and not accept him, and they will not be in his presence in the finality of eternity. Now, the interesting point about the priesthood, it was a progressive type priesthood. It didn't start out with Adam being a high priest someplace. So we can see a little progression here. And I have shared this other times before. God actually allowed a lot of different phases to happen in the history of mankind. It started out with the patriarchs who talked to their children and told them of this great God. It was passed down word of mouth. Went through seasons of kings and judges and all the different kinds of rulers. Then he gave the law to Moses. I mean, went through all of these different structures to give instruction to mankind. And it still didn't stop the wars and the death and the incest and the divorce. And it didn't stop it. So he was proving a point. Nothing ever can stop that sin nature. Nothing can stop it, change it, overcome it. It is what it is. The only thing that can stop you from sin is having the Spirit of God dwell within you, and you walk by the Spirit. It says if you walk by the Spirit, you cannot sin. That's the release. That's the rescue. That is the answer. Now, in the beginning, though, every individual man was his own priest, and he offered his own sacrifices, like Adam did, like Cain and Abel did, and Noah and Abraham and all those. It was a man offering up his sacrifice. It was the individual offering up sacrifice to God. And then next we see the head of the family doing that for the whole household. And then it went on that there was a whole tribe was chosen. So it wasn't just a... It started out just as one person, and then it was a whole family that was involved. Now it's a whole tribe. So a tribe was chosen for a holy service to the Lord for a holy nation. So that it ended up that it progressed to the point that the Levites were then tasked by God. That was their only job on the planet. They weren't to own land or animals or work in the field or do anything. All day, every day, they tended to the tabernacle when it was in the wilderness, as we see our little example here, or the permanently built temple that ended up in Jerusalem. Now, the priesthood progression reached its pinnacle with the death of Jesus, who died and rose up. He's the final high priest of all high priests, and he is the high priest now of the whole church. And it is powerful. So, in the beginning was a priest for himself, then a priest for a family, then a priest for a nation, which is what we're going to study, which we are studying now, the Israelites, and then a priest for the world. That's us, guys. A priest for the world. Every single one of us in Jesus Christ is the walking tabernacle of God. Wow. Now, none of us are born able to do this. That's why you have to put away your opinions, your thoughts, your knee-jerk reactions. This is a journey, folks. We're not born knowing this. Even when you're born again into God's Spirit voluntarily, you still have to learn. We're like babes. So we got to give a lot of space to each other, a lot of mercy to each other, a lot of forgiveness to each other, because we're learning ones. I don't care if God's called you to preach. If God, I'm teaching the word for years and years. I still am a learning one. I still have sin nature that has to be dealt with. And when it comes out in front of you, I would hope forgiveness would come back. And hopefully correction. We need to gently, but we need to constantly offer that correction led by the Spirit, not just our own Helen, I think you need to start doing this. No, I'm not talking about our personal opinions. I'm talking about God-led instruction to someone who's in sin, not just someone who's aggravating you to death. You're the one in sin. So we need to kind of get that straight. So I just want to, I'm going to take this picture down to the priest. We're going to come back to that a little bit later next week. I just wanted to remind you of the garb that was involved. But this is something very important in terms of, I want us to review, and you all have this in your handouts, the requirements for the priesthood. The requirements for the priesthood are well outlined in the scriptures. And we gave you the what the scriptures were in the Old Testament for that, and that's all outlined for you. But the priest back then, there were five things, five requirements for the priesthood. The first requirement was that they had to be consecrated to God. Thank you. My overhead kind of slipped around a little bit there. Thank you very much, Carolyn. I appreciate that. We can probably... Yep.
It's melting.
It's just... That overhead is old-fashioned. We're just going to have to start putting all this stuff on the PowerPoints. So anyways, the first requirement was that they had to be consecrated to God. Well, guess what? We still have to be consecrated to God. You can't do this just as a hobby. You have to be one of God's children. You have to be called of Him and respond to that call. The second one was they had specific outer garments, as we just showed in the previous overhead. And today, what is it that we do? We wear Jesus' robe of righteousness. Nothing that we bring to this is us. This is powerful. So they had special outer garments. Same thing is true for us. Now the third thing was that they had specific duties. Each priest, they all had specific duties. And this is the same thing for us. We have specific duties before God. We must have absolute obedience to Him too. Now He's going to lead us and guide us. There's some general principles that hold true for all of us. But there's certain sins that we have, certain weaknesses that we have that are different than others. So God is going to uniquely speak to each one of us. He is going to uniquely give us things to deal with. You may not deal with the anger or the impatience or something that I may deal with. You may be dealing with something else. So God's specific instructions to you may differ according to what your needs are. But some of the basics, as I said, are still the same. Stealing and lying and cheating and those things, they're standard for all of us. But there's those unique things. That's why you have to leave people alone, even though they're not doing well. So we have that absolute obedience requirement to Him also. The priest then had specific food requirements. There were certain things that they had to do. And guess what? When you read through the scriptures, what are our instructions? Jesus said to eat of His flesh and drink of His blood. Not meaning in a cannibal way. He's talking about He is our meat and our drink. He is our sustenance. Just like we take food inside us to nourish our bodies, we need to have Him inside us. Not in your brain, in your heart, to sustain you. And then the fifth requirement for the priesthood is the high priest was the only one allowed to enter the Holy of Holies behind the veil once a year to offer that sacrifice, to offer that blood offering for the sins of the people. Today, we are the high priests. And in Hebrews 10:19-20, it says, "Since therefore, brethren, we have a confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus." You see, we can get in there by a new and living way which He inaugurated for us through the veil, that is, His flesh. Whoa. And I know that you've all read the account in the scriptures that when Jesus died, the veil that we've seen in our examples and in other pictures and things that we've seen, that veil that separated everything else from the Holy of Holies was torn. It was rent. It was torn from top to bottom. Now that wasn't some cheap little piece of cloth. That was a thick and heavy veil of material. And no one touched it. And it was ripped from top to bottom. Boy, I tell you, what a sweet song God just sang to us then. He said, look, there is no longer any separation. That was a physical separation. No man could go behind that veil except specially chosen one person, high priest out of a special lineage, once a year for the atonement of sin. And now that veil's removed. That was the message. This is the holy song. This is the good news. So powerful. There is no separation now between God and man, as long as what? You come in through the blood of Jesus, because it says the veil you enter right here, inaugurated for us through the veil, that is His flesh. His flesh was crucified for us. Now you have to turn around and do the same thing to your flesh. That's the word picture he gave us. He says, I am going to be the living picture of what you need to do. You need to fight sin to the death of it. All of the time. Do not deal with what the other person is doing. That's up to God. Now you need wisdom. You can't have someone starting to break into your house and say, oh please let me get out of the way. Go right. No. I'm not talking about that. You can't ever let faith throw away common sense. I'm talking about if someone is coming against you, God says, what is your reaction to that? That's the only thing you can control. You're the only one that can control your anger. You're the only one that can control the venom and that need for revenge and that need for you better pay for hurting me. There's so many people that drink a cup of bitterness from their youth for what was done to them. Drop it. Leave it alone. Drink from it no more, God says. I will repay. Vengeance is mine. Now, if those people come to the Lord, they're clean as snow. They're going to go on their journey with Him, and here you are still hating them? No, leave it alone. That's not our job. That's not our business. You just make sure that what your response is to every single thing on this planet, that it matches up with what God said to do. It'll cost you your life, just like it cost Jesus. But that's what we're supposed to be, these living sacrifices. We're supposed to be like this tabernacle as we walk day by day. And we're supposed to be these high priests that understood what was going on. Now, there's some very powerful things in terms of the restrictions. There were some restrictions for the high priest. So even though you were in the family of the Levites, and you were from the group of, or the tribe of Levites, and you were from the family of Aaron, you see, you could be the high priest. But there were some big restrictions on the high priest. And the high priest was what? The one that went once a year into the presence of God. Now, we are able to be in the presence of God. But there's restrictions on us too. And all of this is made manifest by being clean in the Lord. Boy, I tell you, so powerful. The first one on the Levitical restriction was, if someone born into that line of Aaron, if they were blind, that they could not be a high priest. And God says the same thing for my priest today. You have to be able to see the light of God. You cannot be blind or put your own blinders on to what God is saying. And we give far too much. He doesn't want an excuse for sin. But God is saying, they couldn't be blind. It restricted them from being a high priest. Same thing for you. You have to be able to see the light. The second thing was lameness. And I'm saying, Lord, now, I never got this from any other, study or anything. This was so powerful. It just came to my heart in terms of this understanding. But it's been confirmed many, many times over in the scriptures. The high priest was restricted if they were lame for any reason. And that's the same thing. We have to be able to walk in the light as he is in the light. We can't have any lameness. You see, back then it was all physical. Now this is spiritual. A third Levitical restriction was a cut face. I said, Lord, what does that mean? A cut face. But that means, you know how if you have a cut, you know, and it kind of flaps over there? We must be without wrinkle. No fold where something can be hidden. Now, it's not talking about our physical wrinkles there, Franny. It's not talking about our physical wrinkles, because a lot of us older ones, we'd kind of be restricted. So he's not talking about that, as some of you are smiling. But we have to be without fold, meaning where something can be hidden. We cannot have anything hidden. So you see, these are things, in order for us to come to the fullness of the high priesthood that God wants. Don't be dismayed if we don't have all this stuff straight. That's part of the journey. Get this stuff straight. Go before God. Say, yes, God. I don't want to be blind. I don't want to be lame. I don't want anything, a cut face, meaning a fold or a flap somewhere that something's hidden. I don't want anything hidden in me. Now, that means I'm going to expose myself to His light. Well, what that end result means is I am going to be seen for what I really am. God is going to expose me to me. And it's not pretty. When God exposes you to you, it's not pretty. Where are the lies? Where are the hesitations? Where is the pride? Where is the anger? Where is the unforgiveness? Where is the bitterness? Where is the lust? Where is the envy? Where is the greed? I mean, it goes on and on and on. oh, I don't have any of that, I don't have any of that. Well, then your pride's covering it all right there. We are weak and dead in our sins. God himself said the heart of man is desperately wicked. Start from there. Say, God, I admit that. I don't even know all the parts of me that are strong or the parts of me even that are weak. I need some guidance here. And God will be glad to oblige you. Now, the fourth thing on the Levitical restriction, they couldn't have a deformed limb, a broken foot, or a broken hand. Whoa. That means you got to be whole. You not only have to be able to walk the walk, you have to be able to put your hand to the plow, so to speak. You got to be able to do the works of God. He doesn't want his people sitting around going, oh yeah, sounds good, sounds good. Oh yeah, that's nice, nice idea, good and pure. He wants you living this. We have to live this life, not talk about it and study it and write about it. Don't just hear the word of God. You have to be doers of the word of God. Because that's when you find out if you really can do it. Now, I'm in a little training for a marathon coming up at the beginning of next year. I'm trying to get the goofy under my belt. I'm going to run the half marathon on Saturday in January, and then on Sunday I'm going to run the full. So that's some training I have to do. I've got to get my body and my muscles ready for that. I've got to be able to do it. Now, I can read all of the instructions that my coach gives me. I can read all the running magazines I want. I can shop for all the greatest running shoes and get the greatest goo and electrolyte replay. I can read about all that, but until I'm out there on the track, until I'm out there on the road, until I'm out there using the shoes, until I'm out there drinking the electrolytes, I am not going to know what really works until I do it. The same thing applies with the Lord. You just can't read about being kind. You have to be kind. Because when you go to be kind, you're going to find out, oh, I'm not so kind. This is harder than I thought. When God says to be patient, you're going to find out that you're not patient. And patient not meaning that you hold back your anger. Patient meaning the meaning God said patience is. Meaning continuing in well-doing under undeserved affliction. Do you know that that's the original meaning, Greek meaning of the word patience? Continuing in well-doing under undeserved affliction. Because God himself says in the scriptures, you know, if you do wrong and you suffer for it, hey, that's just the end result of your wrongness. But if you're righteous and suffer for it, boy, you're blessed. This is a great God now. He knows what he's talking about. So back then, they couldn't have a deformed limb, broken foot, or broken hand, meaning they had to be able to not only walk in the light, but walk this walk and put their hand to the plow. We need to be seeking God all the time. God, how can I help not only myself to be a better person, how can I help others? There's so many people in need. I'm not talking about giving away your food. God may show you something. There's so many people to minister to. You don't have to have some fancy ministry that's on television in order to help people. We have neighbors surrounding us that need help. They need a ride here, or they need a job, or they need a meal, or they need a little help with a disgruntled child or something. And here we are, tabernacles of God, high priests of God, his wisdom in us, full of all the answers everyone needs, and we just stay in our little houses watching American Idol and flipping through the sports channels. Now, there's nothing wrong with American Idol, please. Anyone listening, don't get me wrong. Nothing wrong with the sports channels. I watch plenty of sports myself. I'm just saying, when your life surrounds you and your comfort after a long day of work, there's something wrong. Just ask me. Oh, God. He's just saying, just ask me. I'll show you. Now, it doesn't mean you're going to be working all day, come home, take care of your kids, do the laundry, do the what, and then go out and serve others. I'm not talking about you picking something. I'm just saying, volunteer your heart before God. Our Precious of Caring is a very busy woman with raising her child. Currently by herself. Golly. And yet so many times I turn around and this girl is going over to help out at give out water at a race someplace. She's volunteering to go build a home. She's volunteering to go. I mean, just they do these things. Workers, her business is very active in this. I really like that about her where she works for her engineering firm. They're very active in the community to give back. That's what God wants. Just show me. You don't have to be doing something every single day and up to midnight and doing all this stuff. Just say, God, I volunteer. I guarantee you, at certain times, God's going to bring things your way that you can help, that you can bring the light of God and His joy, even to those that don't know Him. If you only stick in a Christian circle, you're doomed. Everyone goes to church and then they go to a Christian church and they go to a Christian business and they have their Christian friends. The Word of God needs to go out to those who don't know Him. You need to bring this out. You need to have the light of God coming out from you all the time. Be ready in season and out. I'm not saying to get out of the local bars either. I mean, I'm not saying that. You've got to be ready where God has you here. They also, Levitical restriction, they couldn't be hunchback. I go, whoa, what in the world is that? That means that we have to stand straight. No guile, no deceit, no crookedness. Whoa. Boy, this is going to really... This means a whole lot to some people, you know. It really, really does. Because they're crooked. Just little lies and little... This is a big deal. God says those priests back there couldn't be hunchback. It disabled them. You're going to be disabled before God. As a high priest, if you have guile, you need to stand upright and straight. Integrity first in all that you do. Die before you lie. And that's whether you're filling out a form or whether you're speaking to someone. And if you don't know you're lying, ask God. Exaggerations and all this kind of stuff, it comes under lying. If that's a little part of us, we got to get these habits out of the way. And we just had the... was it a sermon or an article? I don't remember. It kind of runs together sometimes. I think we had an article on old habits don't die out easily. Boy, I tell you, that's really true. But God says He knows that. If you have trouble doing any of this, ask Him. He's going to give you the grace to do it. Now also, number nine, a dwarf. You couldn't be a dwarf. You know, meaning one of the little tiny things here. Now that doesn't... One of the little people in our world doesn't mean they can't be a high priest for God. He's not talking about that today. It was back then physically. If you were a dwarf, and they had dwarfs back then, they had chromosomal defects back then. So they had that. If you were a dwarf, you couldn't be a high priest. That's the same for us. We have to come up to the fullness of God. We need to be grown up fully and completely and mature to be a part of this priesthood of God. Also, they couldn't have an eye defect. Before it talked about blindness, now he's saying you can't even have an eye defect. You not only have to see, but you got to see clearly. See, God doesn't want just seeing. He wants us to see clearly. And that is understanding. And you only get that from the Spirit of God over time, seeking Him and growing up into His maturity. And then they were restricted from the office of high priest if they had eczema, you know, like a skin condition, a scabby condition on them. And this means that same thing holds for us. He's not talking about some dermatological condition. We have to be without spot or blemish too. That's what that physical thing. Can you see that? So this just blows my mind away. God had all of this established back then, and it meant something to Him back then, even if it didn't to the people. But it speaks to us today because we're after that time. We're after Jesus Christ. We're in the new covenant with the new and living way. So wonderful. And the last one was the office of the high priest. You were restricted if you were born or you came to have crushed testicles. And I said, what in the world could that possibly mean? That means that we can't be someone with crushed testicles, so to speak, where the source of life is destroyed. We must have the capability of passing on the seeds of life. So all of those basic requirements have to be met for us, being consecrated, the outer garments in Jesus, the specific duties and the food requirements, and being able to get behind the veil. And then all of these restrictions of the office of high priest, we have to make sure that they don't apply in our lives. And this will not happen overnight. Be aware, go back, study this, look over it. Say, God, I want to meet the fullness. Now, none of us are physically blind. A little of a lameness, but you know, we don't have these things physically on us. But He's not talking about the physical. God's trying to give us a message. Stop looking at the physical. Stop looking at the ceremony. Stop looking at the garments. Stop looking at the vestments. That all was the Old Testament. It was physical because Jesus hadn't come. This is a new and living way under Jesus Christ, led by His Spirit. This is a spiritual conformity that we must meet. And we must be aware of it, and we must do what the Lord says. Powerful, powerful. So I want us to think on that. I want us to go over that. And we gave you the scriptures in Exodus and Leviticus and Hebrews and the places where these things are mentioned. Go over your handout. Use this as a study guide that you take and study for the next few months or whatever. Share it with people. Call people and friends into your home and say, listen, let's go over this together. Let's read these scriptures together. Read chapter after chapter after chapter. Be blessed in it. Use this. This whole thing is not just to have information. The whole idea behind any teaching that we ever give here, or that anyone should ever in teaching the truth of God, is not just to have a head full of information, but to have a heart that is full of the ways of God, so that what we're talking about then becomes what we just do. It's just who we are. This holiness that God's talking about, I can't do with the Adam nature I was born with. I can only do it when I fight that Adam nature, spend all of my time crucifying my flesh so that the holiness of God comes out, so that I actually do end up being a walking tabernacle and the high priest right wherever I go. That's why He said, wherever you stand is holy ground, not because of you, but because of what's in you. In realizing this, we'll be able to worship God more fully because we'll love Him all the more. We'll understand His power and His greatness, and that anything we do that is good and filling and changing for a life was never us to begin with. So it keeps our pride out of the way. Paul said, I must decrease that you might increase. We need to have that prayer every day coming from our mouths. God, more and more of you coming out and less of me. That's the wisdom marriages need. That's the counsel children need. That's what our community and our businesses and our churches and our government need. The power of the Spirit of God coming through, because in that will be all purity, all honesty, all wisdom. Everything will go right. Because God will never lead you to lie. God will never lead you to have adultery in your life. God will never lead you for any of these things, any of the putrids. He will never lead you to greed and jealousy and strife. People are shaking their fist at God because babies die and wars are happening. And God says, this is exactly what I said would happen when you separate from me. When you don't let my power come through, I'm pure. I'm never going to do that. It's you and your weakness that's doing that. Come to me. I will give you my strength. So nothing is impossible to God. So when you say, I can't do that, I can't live like that, you're absolutely saying it's right. You can't, but Him in you can. But you have to give up that. We always just think we're going to give up, oh, some pleasures, and oh, I can't have any fun anymore. I don't know about you. But when I gave up some of those earthly and worldly pleasures, and it wasn't necessarily even giving up, it was just it wasn't a desire for them anymore. They started fading in my life because there was something greater in me. This life has been wonderful. Oh, it's full of its trials. As a matter of fact, you probably get more when you come to know the Lord than you did before, because the old adversary is attacking you now. He's making sure you're going to be miserable and hate God and doubt Him and don't want Him and lacking this, etc., etc. Leave that alone. Don't look to the right or the left, God says. This is a life full of loving relationships. This is a life full of security. Even when a storm is raging, God can calm our hearts or calm the storm, whatever His choice is, to get His work done. Because this world involves more than just you and your problems. If your trials are going to help someone else, guess what? God's going to have you in trials. If your trials are going to work out something in you, God's going to have you in trials. It's not for punishment that we receive trials. It's for learning, it's for change, it's for growth for us, but also those beyond us. But this life is glorious in God. My gosh, I just came back from hiking on the trail. You can go biking, you can go swimming, you can go to the movies. It's just the right kind of stuff. You'll never find me running in the naked 5K. No! They have one. It's called the Bear, what is it? Dare to be, Dare to Go Bear 5K. It's a little 3.1 mile race where clothing is optional. Well, honey, I love running, but I'm never going to run that one. Now, most people are probably applauding, going, yay, thank God for that. But you understand what I'm saying. I'm going to go hiking, but I'm not going to be involved in the little sexual innuendos and the little jokes that go on out there. I'm going to be able to go to people's parties and weddings and anniversaries and birthdays. I don't have to drink. I don't have to get drunk. If they're going to do that, that's their business. I have a full life loving people and being loved. And you don't get that. You get this quirky, the conditional junk that comes from the broken heart of man. Well, I don't want that. And if no one in the whole world loves you, God does. He can fill you like no one else can. So there's no, but I'm not married, and I'm not. Listen, as a pastor, I'm hearing it from both sides. The singles are all going, I'm so lonely, and I'm not married. And the married people are coming, we need counsel, I'm ready to kill them. You know? Good grief. God himself said, if you're married, don't desire to be single. If you're single, don't desire to be married. Not because one or the other was wrong, but because you just think the grass is greener and it isn't. Each one has its own problems and troubles and heartbreak. Not one gets away with anything. But in the Lord, you can get through it. Let him make the choice for your life, what you're supposed to do. But don't be keeping bringing sin into it. Some people are out there sinning. They're out there sleeping with everybody in town. They're having babies. They're not being supported. Well, they got troubles, but it's troubles they brought on themselves. They got hardship and abandonment and rejection and junk and drugs and alcohol and broken lives and dead people and DUIs. This has nothing to do with God and his trials. This is junk people are bringing on themselves. Turn your life around to God. Now, if you killed someone and you come to know the Lord, he ain't going to spring you from jail. You're probably going to be in there the rest of your life, or you might even go to the gas chamber or something. But he'll save your soul. But there's ample time for many here and those that we know and others. Change your life. And it's not a matter of behavioral modification. If you want that, go to a shrink. This is a matter of your inner being, the motor that makes you run. This is what the change out needs to be. If you change that motor, how you run is going to change. You're going to run smoothly and rightly and properly and strongly and forever. That's all God wants is us. That's all he wants is us. You don't have to make yourself a tabernacle and a high priest and then come to me. It can't be done. Because you're working with the Adam nature. You've got to get to God and get cleansed and forgiven of that Adam nature and receive the indwelling of that great and glorious Spirit of God to be your new engine, to be what you let run. Now, you can turn that engine off anytime. God says you can only serve one master at a time. You can run with your clunky one, or you can run with God's perfect, perfect, perfect engine. He knows exactly what we need. Let's let him do that, and let's cherish this stuff. This is what I want. I want to be a tabernacle. I want to be a high priest. And I have to come to you for everything. I need your grace. I need your wisdom. I need to know how to do this. And you can only do it one day at a time. This isn't something you can do ahead of time. Only as these opportunities come up, as the people you meet and the situations that come your way, can you be that tabernacle? Can you be that high priest? And do not beat yourself up when you don't meet this measure. This is a long and torturous journey. That's what forgiveness is all about. You gotta forgive yourself when you don't meet the measures that God talks about, because God will forgive you. Go to him quickly. Go to someone else if you've offended them. Forgive me. If they don't forgive you, you're still clean. Be at peace with all men so far as is possible with you, because some of them won't. Some of them won't forgive. You have to leave it alone. So I will not mistreat you, even if you continue to mistreat me. Now, the world calls that crazy. God calls that righteous. Because, see, you're going to get good at treating people right. And it's going to work to your good with the blessings. And you honor God, he's going to bless you back. Very, very powerful. God bless you. And next week, we'll finish up with the garments of the priest.